So where can you find a wallaby, a sugar glider, and monkeys, and a kangaroo? And maybe a wallaby and a kangaroo are the same thing, but I'm going to be set straight here. We are talking to Animal Tracks Incorporated, and they work to provide a safe, happy, and healthy home for wildlife and exotic animals that cannot be returned to their natural habitats. So they've got a lot of love and care happening there. And Stacy Gunderson is with us. She's the executive director, and Allison Russo, she's a volunteer and staff. You're in the Santa Clarita area in Agua Dulce, right?
Yes, Tina.
You reach out into schools. You have educational opportunities. You have private tours. You're also working with the kids to let them know, to help educate them. So Stacy, introduce us to Animal Tracks.
Yeah, Tell us about what you do. You said it beautifully. We take in exotic animals that need a home for a multitude of reasons. I've yet to find one that's been horribly abused. Luckily, ours are owned by people that maybe went to Vegas and came home with a ferret, and they loved it for about a minute, and they decided maybe a ferret shouldn't make their house smell like butt. They don't want it anymore. And they give it to us.
Right.
And we have to have 10,000 hours with these animals in order to share them with you. So we've got things like ferrets and hedgehogs and sugar gliders. We've got big things like alligators and wolf hybrids and baboons. We provide an edutainment show that we can bring to you. We bring a 1 hour 10 animal show to you, or you can come to us and we do a 2 hour interactive tour where the animals come out to meet you, because fingers taste like hot dogs and toes taste like tater tots, so we don't want people sticking them in the cage.
Right Yeah, they do, they pick up on the smells, and it's just safer if you don't do it that way. And wallaby, did I have that right? Or a wallaby is
different. They're both marsupials and they're quite interesting. The female has a pouch and the male has his southern hemisphere is a little different as well. And I'm just going to talk in code right now in case there's any children listening. His berries are above his twig. It's quite unique.
Yeah, that's a different look. Oh, my. They're like kangaroos, though, right?
They are, yes. They're a smaller version of a kangaroo, yeah.
And then sugar gliders, you mentioned them. They're considered marsupials, too.
They're a gliding marsupial, yes. They look like a squirrel in a flight suit.
They've got the big eyes, big, huge eyes.
And they've got kinkajous and capuchin monkeys and...
Capuchin monkeys are very popular.
Yes. We're big into myth busting. Porcupines don't shoot quills. The first thing a human being does to a monkey is smile, because you're so excited and you basically told the monkey you want to fight. And so we talk about monkeys like trees. So the more you act like a tree, the more the monkey will like you. And you lip smack this noise, and that puts the monkey at ease. And we talk about, now that you know everything about monkeys, because you come to Animal Tracks, you don't go out to the jungles of Costa Rica and pretend you're David Attenborough and smile at a monkey, because they will come out of that tree, they will bite you, and they will take your water bottle as a trophy.
Oh, no. So you're showing them your teeth, and in their language, that's dangerous.
Unbeknownst to you, you're calling them out.
And so these are some of the things that you talk about them, right, when you visit kids in schools?
Absolutely.
You do a lot of educational...
We call it edutainment.
Edutainment.
Yeah.
It is. It's got to be one of the funnest days
stories
in school.
Because nobody cares what they eat or how big they get. They want a story. So that's what we do. And the more you can say the word poop, the more they'll listen.
Tell us one of the stories, will you?
Well, one of the things we talk about is it's taken about 80 million years to create the rainforest. It has taken 50 human years to do our best to destroy the rainforest. But if we become aware of palm oil, I'm not going to ask you to open your pocketbook or your husband to plant a tree. We want you guys to buy products that don't contain palm oil, which are in snack foods and biofuels and detergents, and put a little pressure on the people making these items to change what they use. And if we leave even a tiny bit of the jungle and we leave monkeys and kinkajous and raccoons, they will poop and poop a seed ready to germinate. If a tree falls in the jungle, it takes 4 years for the seed spreaders to refill it. And within one decade, the canopy will come back. So literally, it's not our job to rebuild it. It's our job to leave it so that they can rebuild it.
Do you have animals that are native to Southern California?
We do. And in order to have native animals, there has to be a reason to have them. They have to have some sort of either illness or people have fed them out of their backyards. But you can't just go take a possum out of the wild and keep it. So it has to have blindness or deafness or something going on. And it has to be vet approved that this animal can't be released back into the wild.
Do you have any possums at the moment?
I do. I've got possums, and we used to have a raccoon, a blind raccoon. He passed away. We talk a lot about if you have possums in your backyard, it's okay. You don't have rabies. Believe it or not, a possum can't contract it. They eat 30,000 ticks a year. They're not a giant rat. They're a wonderful thing to have, actually. And they're partying in your backyard every night, whether you like it or not.
And then do you have bears also?
No, nothing that can eat my children.
Okay.
That's the rule. The general rule of thumb. There's other places.
Right. So you have the exotic animals that are smaller.
Yeah. Our biggest would be a wolf hybrid, and he's less than 50% wolf. He acts more like a dog. And we have a serval, which is the mid-sized cat of Africa. Nothing too big. probably the hardest thing we do is we bring out these wonderful animals that really impress people, and then we say, but don't get one. But we talk a lot about why you shouldn't get one.
Right.
A wolf doesn't want to live in an apartment.
How many animals do you have?
I would say we have probably 30 large animals, and then we have a reptile room full of giant frogs and lizards and snakes. We get calls all the time of people that have bearded dragons or king snakes. They don't want it anymore. Can we take it? We have a frog, a $500 frog that someone bought and then just decided they didn't want it anymore.
Frogs are pretty low maintenance, I'm thinking.
Well, you know, frogs are fantastic because they're disappearing, and they're disappearing because of us. We're coming to our sixth extinction, and that's due to climate change and pollution and taking away their environment. And so frogs are disappearing. So we do a lot about, if you touch a frog, make sure you wash your hands first, because all the chemicals, the hairspray, the lotion, all that stuff goes into the frog's skin. You put the frog down, the frog goes and gets sick. But if you wash your hands first and get all the chemicals off, the frog's fine.
Wash your hands.
And then when you're done, that's when you wash your hands. Because they're covered in bufotoxin.
Which is bad too. That's,
well, bufotoxin, depending, like a cane toad could kill you. So what I'm trying to say is no licking toads. No licking toads.
Right. Find other recreational opportunities, I guess. So Allison, you volunteer and you're also staff. So
I do.
It's like double duty. And so tell us what you do.
I am an animal caregiver. So I guess zookeeper. And I also help with our social media somewhat.
And she educates?
And I educate, yeah. I go to schools with Stacy, and I also help give tours there at the ranch. So I love it.
You have a passion for animals because, is there any, you know, you don't have to have a reason, but did something happen or anything happen along the way that made you realize you wanted to do this?
You know, When I was young, I've always loved animals, but my mother, when I was growing up, she was like, you're not going to make any money going into the animal field. And so I went into the corporate world for up until about 12 or 11 years ago. And then I just decided to, I was in a situation where I could make the change. And so I did. And I like to fondly say that I would prefer shoveling animal poop any day over having a desk job ever again. It's very rewarding to my soul. And yeah, it's not a job. It is a passion. And I love it.
That word poop comes up with you guys a lot.
A lot. It has to.
But now you work in a beautiful area and you're doing something that you love. It's probably a lot more rewarding helping these animals.
We're actually looking into kind of pushing people with depression coming out and spending time with the monkeys. It is so peaceful. It leaves you feeling warm and fuzzy. Kids with autism. We push it as kind of a date thing. Kids, they watch Curious George all the time, but if you bring out a date, there's wine tasting and the rocks and the animals, and it's just a beautiful day.
Yeah, so you go up there and spend the day, and can you have a picnic and do things like that there on the property? Or
it's a unique part of California. It's still very cowboyish. You know, you spend all day on the 405. I come home, I can ride my horse into town to get milk, so it's really different.
Yeah, Agua Dulce.
We sit on top of a giant aquifer, so we're kind of an oasis.
Perfect place, you know, to have exotic animals and to help
people
them.
The people there are fantastic.
Do you have a big team or a medium-sized
team? I do. I couldn't do what I do without the team that I currently have. I pay not nearly enough. I don't pay enough money for these people to survive. I wish I could. That's the big plan. We'd love to find a bigger, better place to put these animals. These people give their heart and souls. Like I said earlier, if I could pay them what they were worth, they'd all be millionaires.
And how about some millionaires step up and help you?
Oh, that would be so nice. Calling all millionaires.
What is the property like, you know, if you go up there to take a tour? How does this happen, Allison?
It's really interesting because you pull into a driveway and you see a house. And it's a house that was built by Mr. Monty Montana, who's a gentleman that put horses in black and white movies and television back in the 70s. And he's why we can do what we can do. And so it was a big giant horse ranch, which we've converted into this wild animal ranch. So our house is down below and our zoo is up top. And when we first bought the place, we were like, wow, it's magnificent, so big. How are we going to fill it? And now it feels teeny tiny. And we're thinking, we need a bigger place.
We're growing now.
We are growing.
So what's the best way for people to get involved?
We're always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for monetary donations. We're always looking for people that are knowledgeable in construction. We are always looking for grant writers. We have no grants at this point.
I would like to see us get some corporate sponsorships and donors, that kind of thing, you know, where we could promote them on our social media and they could do the same for us. Some way to expand you know, to get the word out, because kids today are so, you know, everything's so technologically bound and there's a disconnect there. So for us to be able to, you know, go to schools and have these, you know, kids see these animals and or come to us and see them as well. They say a picture speaks a thousand words. Well, the actual real thing there in front of you is it's a glass ceiling breaker type of thing.
Right.
There's and if you want to talk about dedication, this woman will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to come help me clean the zoo so that we can be at a school in Long Beach by 8 a.m. And so people think they're like, oh, you're only here for an hour. But I'm going to tell you our day started at 3 a.m.
Oh,
and it'll finish about 6 o'clock at night.
So what animals do you usually take with you to the schools?
We have kind of a set cast, but it revolves. It's a revolving door. We start out with a tarantula, which is kind of like bringing Justin Bieber to a school. Everybody screams. They can't believe it. They think you're going to throw it at them. Of course, we don't. We bring an alligator. Somebody bought and thought it would live in their bathtub. We bring a giant snake. We bring a laughing kookaburra. We would bring things like possums and ferrets and
kinkajous. Fox.
Things you shouldn't have in your house. Oh. And then we end the show with a capuchin monkey, a kangaroo, and a baboon.
Wow. You said alligator, right?
Yeah.
How big is it? Is it
the alligator's only six. He's pretty little. It's the giant Burmese python that's the backbreaker.
Okay, right.
We named him the Erminator, but we should have called him Advil because that's what you need after you carry him around all day.
You have to get everybody loaded up into the car,
like,
the
SUV. We're like movers. Yeah. We pack an entire van, break it down, pack
it
up.
Yeah, we have it down to a science.
And then they leave you these nice little poop packages in there, so when we're all done and exhausted, we get to clean that too.
Do you have regular tour times or is it always scheduled?
We do.
Okay.
We have a website where you can go to the visit us section. We have a calendar where you can buy tickets and there's public and private. So we can do private tours, private monkey experiences, or you can just buy tickets online for the public. And we're open almost every weekend, and we can also do programs where we come to you.
What's the website?
AnimalTracksInc.org, and that's TRACKS .INC.
So it's AnimalTracksInc.org. Gotcha. And you name all the animals, right? They all have names.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What's the name of the kangaroo?
Bellaroo, because she's the prettiest kangaroo in the whole wide world.
Oh, okay. I like that one. The name of one of the capuchin monkeys?
Macy and Marley.
All right.
They were privately owned, and the woman loved Bob Marley and Macy Gray, so she named her monkeys after them. So we have Marley and Macy, and then we have my favorite name is Dobby. We have a little fennec fox named Dobby. He looks like a house elf from Harry Potter.
You've got these great little stories behind the names, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. It's Animal Tracks, Inc. We're joined by Stacy and Allison.
This is the end of the year, and it is the season of giving, and so I would just like to ask if anybody out there is looking to pay it forward, if they could want to make a year-end donation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, so it would be a tax break for them.
There's that marketing side of Allison.
I love Allison. She's the best.
That's perfect.
I'm always trying to think of, you know, ways to improve the animals' lives.
Thank you, Animal Tracks, Inc.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Tina.
Us.